John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 tonight. Once you find that, if you'll stand with me together, we'll look at these two verses of Scripture in preparation for the preaching tonight. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. And we'll read those two verses out loud together. 1 John 2, 15 and 16. Together. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for every book written. We're thankful that we have complete confidence that what is written down in our Bibles are the very words of God. Father, they're not your ideas, they're not your thoughts, they're your very words. And they're inspired and they're preserved. And Lord, they're written to help us. I pray, Lord, that as we look at the Scriptures tonight, I pray the Scriptures and the principles and truths that we learn will be a help. Lord, that it will provide some preventative maintenance for some. Lord, for others, maybe it'll provide a remedy, a solution, a biblical answer to a problem that maybe they're dealing with personally. But God, I pray that you'll meet the needs represented in this congregation tonight by the preached word of God. Lord, may we minimize every distraction tonight. And Lord, may we discipline our minds and gird up our minds that we may hear the truth and be doers of the truth as a result of hearing. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
God's commands are always right. And they are all within our ability to obey those commands. God has a plan for our fulfillment. Now listen intently to the introduction to this message now. He has a plan for our fulfillment, and all of his plans are within the bounds of purity. If his plan is one woman, one man for life within the bounds of matrimony or marriage. It's not multiple partners. It is not prior to marriage. It is not live-ins together to try it out and see if it works. You don't have to try it out to see that it works. God has a better plan than that. God's plan is for a young man or a young woman to keep themselves pure until their wedding day. And then from the wedding, make it your project to meet each other's needs for the rest of your life. God speaks of this in terms that are not crass and are not vulgar in the Bible. They are building up terms, encouraging terms. However, we live in a pornographic world. I mean, where we are swamped with lewdness and immoral pictures. You may run into them innocently at work, but you run into them. You may run into them on a billboard or in a magazine that otherwise is okay, but you're surprised to run into it. It is everywhere. God told us about this danger in our text in 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15 and 16, and he told us, don't love the world. Now, all that is in the world in verse 16 is three things. And two-thirds of them deal with the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. Tonight, I want to deal with something that many believers have trouble with, and that is maintaining purity. Maintaining purity. Especially when we deal with the lust of the eyes tonight. Jesus mints no words in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28 when he called looking with lust adultery. Jesus came right out and said, this is adultery. You've committed adultery. Here's what the Bible says. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. The title tonight is Winning the War for Purity. That's what every one of us has to do. We must win this war. The subtitle is What the Bible Has to Say About Pornography. Pornography, which is all about lust, is adultery. Did you hear me? Pornography is adultery. It's degrading. It's defiling. It is full of guilt. And brethren, we dare not become like the man that Peter described in 2 Peter 2:14, where he says, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices. And then it says to end the verse, cursed children. My heart just sunk. If you want your precious children to be cursed, fathers, look at porn. That's what it's saying. Eyes full of adultery, cursed children. A junior came to us guilt-ridden. As pastors, he had found his father's stash of porn and looked at it and had a heart that smote him. That's good. And repented and confessed it. And praise be to God, found a measure of victory in that. But don't tell me that's not a problem. And don't tell me that's not a problem in Christian homes. My goal is to help Christians with this nagging habit tonight. At the end, there's not going to be an altar call for you to come forward. There's not going to be a showing of hands. I have no intent of that. My intention is to preach to you biblical truth that will help you in your daily life to be victorious in these areas. Then I want a CD to be made available so that you can give it to a friend who has this addiction, because A, it is an addiction, and B, they need deliverance, they need help. And we are trying to work with people all the time that we're running into this where they're into pornography. And if we have a CD, you can go right to it, and here's biblical answer for the situation. So that's my intent tonight. I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at 4 points. Number one is, what is the problem? What's the problem? Well, the problem is that lust is the way of sinners and carnal Christians. It is worldly. It is not from God. Not of the Father, 1 John 2:16 says. Purity is the way that Christians should need to strive in order to please God. God is a holy God. God loves purity. God wants his children to be pure. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And who is that? That's the devil, Satan. The spirit that now worketh in the children of obedience or disobedience? Disobedience. The spirit of the devil works in children of disobedience. I don't want it said of Randy Starr that the spirit of the devil is working in him. Now it says, that's the way we used to live, but now in verse 3, among whom also we have all had our conversation. Whenever you see conversation in the scripture, it's a word that means behavior or your manner of living. We used to have a manner of living in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, in those days, the children of wrath, even as others. That's the way we used to live, perhaps. In our old sinful nature, we were given to the lust of the flesh. That's the way of the world. We are not like that now. We have been born again. Now we have a new nature, and if we are giving in to lust in our life rather than purity, it's only because the old nature is overriding the new nature, and the only way that the old nature would override the new nature is that we keep feeding the old nature. We need to be feeding the new nature. We know that lust sells. It sells. TV commercials and magazine ads scream, lust, and buy. It's no secret that the number one industry on the internet is pornography, which is lust. 40 million Americans regularly visit porn sites. Did you know that 17% of women are addicted to porn, according to statistics? 17% of the women. One in every five men view porn. 60% of all sites, websites, all websites, more than half are porn. 76% of porn comes from China, South Korea, and Japan. And they make $73 billion a year on it. Organized crime controls the porn industry. Violent crime has many ties to porn. And when we participate, we just become part of it all. We just gave in to it. Ephesians chapter 4. When folks give in to lust, they violate God's plan for purity. They are walking in the way of the world. They are giving in to Satan. They are sinning against God and their own soul by doing it. What's the problem? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Watch this. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is a big fancy word for lustfulness. They've given themselves over to lust, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Where does this lust addiction begin? I'll tell you where it begins. Right down in the heart. In James chapter 1 and verse 13, I'll wait till you get there. James 1:13. God says it starts in the heart. James 1:13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when? When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Well, where's this lust at? Right down in here. And we're drawn away and we're enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. When you give the excuse, well, this is how God made me, you are blaming God for him tempting you, for him making you that way. It's not that at all. You sin when you allow yourself to be drawn away by your own lust in your heart. It all starts inside you. Amnon in the Old Testament lusted after Tamar before he raped her. That was in his heart. David saw the X-rated video of Bathsheba bathing up on the rooftop, and then he kept looking, and then finally it drew him away. His lust got the better of him. Potiphar's wife watched Joseph every day and lusted for him before she set the trap to seduce him. Lust starts within. Now, there's a progression of how we yield to lust. Here's how it works. Number one, unbelief. Unbelief. In Romans 1:21, don't turn there, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Well, you and I know God, but sometimes we don't believe God. We start living for the temporal things, forgetting that we have to stand before God one day in judgment. One day we're going to face Almighty God and look eyeball to eyeball at the Savior, the Master. We forget that God will judge not only our actions and our words, but our thoughts and intents of our heart. Things done in public and things done in secret. He sees it all, and we're going to have to answer for it. There's an entering into an unbelief. I don't mean an unbelief that you don't believe there's a God. An unbelief about what God has said. Then there's a discontent. Romans 1:21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. They're not content. We become as Adam and Eve, to whom God had given every resource in the garden. They had everything at their fingertips. But they wanted the one thing that wasn't at their fingertips, the forbidden fruit. They wanted what God had commanded that they should not partake of. Are you like that? I mean, we're in an affluent part of America even. We just about have everything we want in this church. We just about have everything that we want, certainly everything we need. And do you look at all that you have and say it's not enough? There's something outside the bounds that I want? Because if you are, you're a Romans 1:21 person. Sometimes morally we become discontent. What we have is not enough. The grass is greener on the other side, so to speak, and we have become discontent. There's a progression. We overlook who God is and what He expects of us and the future judgment that we're going to face, and then we become discontent with what He's given us. We want what is clearly not in God's plan for us. And when we do that, we're on the way to giving in to our lust. The third step in the cycle is impurity. It's a short step. In Romans 1:24, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. He gave them up to their uncleanness. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Where is the seat of all affection? The heart. Saints, we must be alive in our walk with God. The temptations are too devastating out there. If we don't, we will seek to be alive in other ways, including impurities, cheap substitutes. You see, lightning doesn't usually ignite fires in wet, damp areas. Dry seasons are dangerous times for forest fires. We got into one last summer. Likewise, when winds of lust blow over a dry soul, the least little spark ignites a firestorm of immorality. That's how susceptible we are. We don't dare have a dry soul. We must have a walk with God that's real. In Psalm 1, you don't need to turn there, but I'll give it to you here in a moment. Remember this, that we are not at high risk when we've been drenched with the Word of God. If we will just drench our souls with the Word of God every day, the Bible says the water of the Word. We are washed with the water of the Word. If we will drench our souls with the water of the Word of God, we will not be at high risk when the lightning of immorality, the lightning of lust threatens us. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the water. It's in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate. And he does quite a little bit of it, because it says day and night. He takes God's word seriously. You say, well, he didn't live today. No, he probably lived back in the day when you had to make your own butter, when you had to do your washing by hand. You didn't have all these gadgets and contraptions to be able to make life a little easier. He probably lived in a harder day. But nonetheless, he says he still delights. The man who's blessed is delighting in the Lord and His word every day and night, meditating in it. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, there's the source, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. If we are then to be blessed, fruitful, prosperous spiritually, then we must be pure. Are you listening? To be pure, we can't counsel with the ungodly and walk with sinners or become scornful. Rather, we must get back to delighting daily in God's word, regularly in God's word. Don't let the lightning of lust ignite impure thoughts, pictures. Walk closer to God. Drench yourself with his word. Jim Berg says, and he teaches a counseling course that we use, he says that there's an equation for enjoyment. It goes like this. We've learned in elementary school that if you multiply anything by zero, you get zero. All right? And God's definition of enjoyment is joy and peace. That's what God gives to us for the things that we do in this life. If we're going to enjoy it, it's going to have joy and peace connected with it. So the equation that Mr. Berg posed is the equation for enjoyment goes like this. God-given ability times God-given satisfaction equals enjoyment. God gives us the ability to do a lot of things. Not all of them are righteous. Not all of them are pure. However, the multiplier is the satisfaction that he gives us in it. You may do something that's fun. 75%, boy, this is fun. But if it's an impure practice, God withholds the true lasting satisfaction. In other words, that's his satisfaction is zero. And therefore, your enjoyment, which is your joy and peace in doing it, is zero. I'll tell you what's high. Guilt. Guilt is high when we give in to lust. Impure practices never yield lasting joy and peace. And so we see the problem of lust. It's brought on by unbelief, discontentedness, and leads to impurity. All right? Secondly, I want to deal with those who don't have the problem to any large degree and want to stay away from it. The question in number two is, how do I build a wall? I don't want this in my life, preacher, and there are temptations out there. How do I build a wall? The river of pornography and impure thoughts and pictures can threaten to overflow our banks. As a Christian, every believer has to build a wall to hold back that flow in his life. Or another way of putting it is, the devilish army of pornography and impure thoughts is marching toward the Christian to capture that Christian. Every believer has to build a wall to prevent being captured by those impure thoughts and pictures. The question is how? How do we build this wall? I want to give you several strategies tonight. Number one, beware of opening gates that invite temptation. Beware of opening gates that invite temptations. There are situations that lend to this temptation of pornography. I'll look at a couple of them with you tonight. And I don't have time to go through all the things that I have in my notes, but I'll give you a couple of pointers here. Too much free time is a problem. Too much free time. Keep busy. Keep your mind busy. Keep your hands working. Mom used to say an idle mind is the devil's workshop. One time we were dealing with a church discipline situation in the church, and it dealt with lust, and Ralph Dougherty made a statement I'll never forget. He said, that brother has too much time on his hands. He's not busy enough. If he's busy enough, he wouldn't have time for that stuff. Is that right, Ralph? I remember that. This was Amnon's problem. But the problem is, Amnon had a friend, but Amnon had a father, David. And it was his father's problem too. And he passed it down to his son. Fathers, this is imperative. We have got to get this right. There can't be Christians in here who, behind the backs of everybody, has got their stash. And they're looking at pornography, either on the web or the TV or magazines or whatever. We can't have that. We need purity in the fellowship. God's not going to bless impurity. God's not going to bless the family of the man that can't get that right. Beware of time with no accountability. If you have an addiction or a nagging habit, you shouldn't trust yourself alone. Make yourself accountable to your wife, or if you're a young person, to your parents. I know a spiritual man who used to have trouble in this area. But today, and for years now, he's asked his wife to check every website that he goes on the computer. He's interested in accountability. He wants to be victorious. Beware of opening gates to temptation. Gates where you know that this temptation is going to come from. To build a wall against porn, number two, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Since lust comes from the heart, first beware of opening gates that invite temptation, and then guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23, you know it by memory. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You can tell if you're guarding your heart if you have victory in your thought life. If you're thinking right, you're guarding your heart. If not, you're not doing enough to guard your heart. You guard your heart by your daily walk with God. Don't be satisfied to read 5 verses and pray 3 minutes and off you go. That is minimal Christianity. You need a closer walk than that. What would it be if every man in this room genuinely got hungry after God's word? I want to know that book. I'm tired of just playing around with this. I want to know the book. And started to have a study time. A year and a half ago, I taught some men about how to prepare to teach adults. But I was also hoping in that study that we would learn how to feed ourselves and get hungry after God to study the Word of God. Every young person can do it. And every adult as well. Make a study of the Bible. Have a prayer list and intercede in prayer. Have a schedule that includes all the services of the church. Be involved in ministry. Number three, to build a wall against porn, chart a course to increase your knowledge of God. You're not going to be victorious in these addictions unless you build your knowledge of God. Colossians 3:10. Go there with me, please. Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. But our new nature is only renewed as we gain knowledge of God. And brethren, there's nobody who's arrived in this category. Nobody knows so much about God that you just have nothing else to learn. Oh, no. No, no, no. We have a lot to learn. 2 Peter 1:3 says, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and to virtue. And virtue is moral excellence. Through the knowledge of him. That's how we do it. We can receive everything from God that we need that pertains to this life and living a godly, pure life. But we do it through the knowledge of God. We need to grow in our knowledge. How do we receive everything that God has provided for life and godliness? Answer, through increased knowledge of God. Just because you went to Christian school or Christian college doesn't mean that you have arrived in your knowledge of God. Have you ever just jotted down everything you know about God? If you did, it wouldn't take you long to realize that you need to know more. But it would be a great exercise for you. Just sit down and say, okay, I'm going to take 10 minutes today and I'm going to sit down and write down everything I know about God. And then make your study to know more. Come back in 3 months and write down some more. See what you gain. And as we learn God better, we'll have greater victory in our lives. With a limited knowledge of God, God is hindered from giving us all that he intended to give us as in the matter of victorious Christian living. Therefore, every Christian needs to make a study to know him better. And if you have to have a habit that you need to overcome, it's all the more critical that you get started tonight. That's how to build the wall. I don't know how to put it any better. This will be on a CD and you can study it again. Number three, first we see the problem. Second, how to build a wall against porn. Thirdly, you need to consider how to protect your home. How to protect your home. Number one, block porn sites, the sources of porn. So that means you're going to have to buy a filter to block the porn sites on your computer. Talk to Pastor Bill. He has recommendations for you on that. Set the filter on your TV to block lewd shows if you can. Today, sometimes you can set those parameters on a TV if you have a TV. Then set parameters to block it. Number two, keep computer screens open to the center of the room so everybody can see what the user is watching. As soon as you walk in our study, the first thing you see is my screen. It's absolutely open to view. Shirley's screen is pointed. She sits the other way and her screen is open to view. No one runs a computer or a TV in a closed room. Make it a rule. You're not going to have that in a closed room. It's too much temptation. Number three, under block porn sites, don't give your children a smartphone with a web access. Well, yeah, I guard the computer. Yeah, but your kids still have access to the web through games, through cell phones. Number four, don't have or keep magazines that tempt you. Like you would tell an alcoholic to pour every drop of his liquor down the drain, you need to burn the entire stash. Not keep one magazine. Block all porn sources. The second way to protect your home from porn is to snoop. I like this one. Do a walkthrough of the least traveled places on your property. Check the garage. Check the shed. Check the workbench. And under that whole stack of boxes over there. Check the attic. The work vehicles. The cabins. The friends' houses. In our house, my wife's a snoopervisor. She would periodically go through all the drawers in the house. You had pretty good kids. Oh, we expected that, and therefore we inspected that. We weren't sure at sometimes, and so when we weren't sure, she snooped. And then she'd report to me what she found, if anything. Inspect what you expect. You prevent a lot of heartache and defilement. Thirdly, not only block the porn sources and snoop, but fathers, train your sons, warn them about the strange woman, taught about in the Bible, particularly in Proverbs. Warn them about bad magazines, TV shows, websites. Warn them not to go to those sites when they get old enough to understand what that's about. I haven't got time to go into all that tonight, but fathers have a job to do with their sons. Mothers, train your daughters to dress modestly. It's a sin. If it's a sin for men to look, it's a sin for ladies to draw those lustful looks. It's a sin. Protect your home, and this is how you do it. I'd like to elaborate on all that stuff. I just don't have time tonight. Number four, primary point number four. Let's look at what God says about how to be free. Now we're talking to someone who may be addicted to this. If you've been involved in porn and other impure activities, God wants to deliver you. It takes deliverance. You need to be delivered from this addiction, this sin. He wants his children to be free from these drags that drag them down in their spiritual life. Question, how can a Christian ever be set free from an addiction to pornography and impure thoughts and activities? Now, I know the background of that question because pornography etches a picture on your developer up here in your mind. And it's hard to get those pictures back out of your mind. But God says that we can be free. We can be free from any addiction, including this one. I'll give you a couple of points and we're finished. Number one, be honest and confess it as sin. See it the way that God sees it. And you have to come clean before God. Sincere, heartfelt confession is the first step on the road to recovery from any habit. Certainly this one. The father was waiting for the prodigal when the prodigal returned. And when we've been impure, we need to come to our senses like the prodigal did. And if we'll do that, the Father will be waiting to receive us. We can be sure of it. And so when the prodigal came to his senses, he came back, and one of the first things he said is, "I have sinned." That's what we need to do. If we have an ongoing sin in our life, it's time for us to admit it and confess it before God. Repent of it. God explains the kind of repentance that he's looking for in 2 Corinthians 7:10. Would you go there with me? 2 Corinthians 7:10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance. Question, what worketh repentance? Godly sorrow. That's what he's looking for. To salvation, the word salvation is the same word for deliverance. Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. A person with an addiction needs deliverance. The right kind of repentance will bring true deliverance. A Christian's deliverance from an addiction will only be as effective as their godly sorrow over their sin. You've got to look at sin. Say, man, Jesus Christ died for me. What am I doing? Jesus wants me to live a pure life. What am I filling my mind with? Why am I doing this? I'm defiling my own soul. I feel guilty after I do it. Can't get those images out of my mind. And we have to come to our senses like the prodigal did and come with true godly sorrow. Be honest, be broken. Sorrow, admit it, repent, and the results will be deliverance. God promises it, and his promise is still in the book for us today. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:13, you don't need to turn there, but just listen. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. God's looking for honest men and women to confess and forsake. And if we would do that, the promise still works today that he would extend mercy to us, forgiveness, a fresh start. Then, number one, be honest and confess. Number two, make a covenant with your God regarding your eyes. Make a covenant with God. Who created us? Answer, God. What parts did he create? All of us. What's included in that? My eyes. What should my eyes be seeing? It ought to be seeing more of the Word. It ought to be seeing good things. It'll see bad things, but we shouldn't be inviting bad things for our eyes to see. Therefore, if we have a problem with this, we need to make a covenant with our God concerning our eyes. Job 31:1, Job says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? And the idea was to not only think upon that maid, but to look on her and think in lustful terms. Once delivered, make a commitment. Once you prayed and confessed it from your heart, you've been honest, you've confessed it, and he's cleansed you and delivered you, then make a commitment not to violate your mind with lust of the eyes again. I can't prevent all things that come into my eyes the first time, but I can prevent many things, and I can always prevent myself from seeing them the second time. Because I know where they came from. I know what that's about. I'm not going back to that. I can say no. You can say no. Make a covenant with your eyes conscientiously. Avoid seeing it. Look the other way. Thirdly, find someone with authority to hold you accountable. Find someone that you can confide in confidentially and you can talk to. A pastor, a deacon, Sunday school teacher perhaps, a Christian counselor, your mate, a brother in another church, Christian brother or sister. Give that person the right to quiz you at least every other week and promise to tell them the truth. They should ask you if you have looked at porn in any form. Have you been tempted? In what situations have you been tempted? They should also pray with you. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 23 says, "A man's pride will bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." Go over to James 5:16. I want you to see this verse. You see, only pride will prevent you from getting an accountability partner. And you need one. Only pride. Thinking you don't need it, that's pride. I can do it myself. I, that's pride. Being too embarrassed to ask for help, that's pride talking. And by the way, this is biblical to have an accountability partner. You look at it. In James 5:16, confess your faults of what? One to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the last thought and last scripture is Psalm 119. Go there, please. How do I overcome? How can I be set free? Be honest and confess it. Get a fresh start. Then make a covenant with your eyes. Find an accountability partner. And finally, memorize scripture. Now, if we're going to be victorious God's way, we've got to do things according to the Word of God. And here's what God says about memorizing scripture. In Psalm 119 and verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" Well, this is exactly what we're talking about. "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." So you respond to the word and you confess your sin and you're forgiven. "With my whole heart have I sought thee. O Lord, let me not wander from thy commandments." There the man is seeking the knowledge of God. He's having his devotions. He's getting his soul drenched with the word of God and he's seeking God. But now in verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Well, I hid it there when I memorized it. I kept it there. I learned it and I kept it. I memorized it. And the reason I did is so that it would be available for me the next time that I'm tempted. And the example is Jesus Christ. When he was tempted 3 times of the devil, what did he do? Quoted the scripture. Hath not the scripture said, "Only those who seek him with the whole heart and don't want to revert to their sin will hide his word in their heart to deter from sinning." I mean, it takes you being very serious about this matter. I want to be free of this, preacher. I don't ever want this back in my life. Here's the answer. I'm giving you the answer. If you are sincere and you really want to be victorious over this, you can. If you follow God's prescription, you'll be victorious over this. God says it'll work. There are particular passages that would be most helpful to keep from a relapse into this sin, and those list of scriptures might be the best ones to memorize. We have copies of those. You can see one of the pastors about that. Let's bow our heads for prayer now. Your heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder if there's somebody here tonight who is not a Christian, and you know that you need to come to Christ. The Holy Spirit is convicting you, and you need to be saved tonight. We just heard that somebody prayed to receive Christ yesterday. A girl prayed to receive Christ this morning. It would not be an oddity to have somebody want to be saved in a service like this where the Bible is preached and the Holy Spirit can work. Is there somebody here who would say, "Preacher, I'm not saved, and I know I need to be"? Could I see your hands? Is there somebody like that in the building tonight?